Verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on Jesus' breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. This is only the background for the message the Lord has laid on my heart. The main scripture is somewhere else. But I want to use this as a setting for us to capture what the Lord would speak to our hearts this morning. Peter is an interesting individual, aggressive for the Lord, inquisitive, and he's just had a very, very interesting message delivered to him from the Lord himself. The Lord has revealed to him his ministry, and in essence, it's taking care of the whole church, taking care of the new lambs, the young Christians, taking care of the older ones, tending them and feeding them. And Peter is feeling very inadequate. And it looks around at the other disciples, realizing they have abilities too. And probably in his heart he's asking the question, Lord, why are you appointing me to do it all? And there's his friend John. They were close. They were buddies. They were in business together, and they walked together, and they talked together. And it's interesting that he remembers something unique about John at this moment. And that is, John's the one that said, Who's going to betray you, Lord? Could have remembered better things about it. Like, you know, John has abilities, even though he was worried about who was going to betray you when we all really let you down. What about John? Have you ever felt like Peter? Like the Lord has laid heavy things for you to do, and you look around at everybody else and they aren't doing anything. But there's something very significant about this all that I want to bring to your hearts this morning, and that is the reality that John already had a commissioning and an appointment that is not very popular and is easily forgotten. Same commissioning and appointment he has given each one of us. And we forget about it, and we think that other things are much more important. Now I want to read another scripture to you. You need not turn to it. This is in John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, and this is while Jesus is hanging on the cross. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, meaning John, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. John took on a ministry. John took a very heavy responsibility. John already had a calling that is easily overlooked. And Jesus, in response to Peter, says, It's none of your business what I call John to do. You follow me. But if Peter had really realized the intensity of John's calling, I think he would have maybe approached the question different than rather saying, What have you given him to do? He perhaps would have said, I need a man like John, a man that knows how to take care of mothers, a man with compassion, a man that will reach out and give the loving care to an elderly individual who perhaps doesn't have the abilities any longer to care for themselves. I need somebody like that by my side, just like you and I need to understand and grasp the reality that John had a very high calling. And John was committed. John took her home and began to care for her. John perhaps had his own mother. And by this act of Jesus on the cross, in calling John, we begin to understand something about the importance of caring for a mother. Jesus being the oldest son of the family, had taken her under his own care. And Jesus' life reveals something of the respect and the honor he gave mother, and as well as the understanding that his heavenly father spoke through his earthly mother. And for him to find and obey his father's will, he had to obey mother. At the age of 12, when he was having that great experience in the temple, his first visit to the temple, and there he met all the men of great wisdom and godly stature in his sight, men who knew more about the Word of God than anybody else in the world, and he was having this great conversation with them, and they marveled at his wisdom. He got so carried away with that conversation, he forgot all about mom and dad. They had headed for home with a day's journey toward home and realized he was missing. And I suppose it was an awesome moment for them. Perhaps they thought, we're trying to raise this boy to be perfect. We've done good so far. We take him to the temple. And he blew it. What did he do? Run away or what? And they came back all excited. And he spoke. He spoke to them with a response that someone who knows they're the Son of God would speak, and says, "Don't you know, Mom, that I must be about my Father's business?" It's like, "Hey, stop messing up what's going on." But then, when you look at the reality of what he did, he didn't say, which I believe he was tempted to say, "Let me hang out with these guys the rest of my life. You know what I'm called to do." He went home. He went home with his parents and lived with them for 18 more years and obeyed his mother because he realized that to be who he was called to be as God the Son of Earth, that's the way Father would direct it through his mother. And you and I must capture that, no matter how old we are, that that's what was going on many times in years past when we rebelled against it. Father, God, was trying to help us find his way through our earthly mother. Again, it's revealed at another time in the life of Jesus. He's now 30 years old, and at age 30 is when a prophet was accepted in Israel. There's not much stated about this, but I think it's important to realize that Jesus' ministry did not begin until the age of 30. It would not have been accepted prior to that, because no one was mature enough to be a prophet until they were 30 years old. That's the way the system was organized. Now, Jesus is 30 years old, and as an obedient son, a caring son, and it's possible that his father had passed away, and he had assumed responsibility of caring for his mother. And so he took her to a wedding, and they're having a good time. They're celebrating. And Mary comes to Jesus and says, "Son, the wine is all." And he, in essence, says, "So what?" It happens. She looks at him with a look that said more than just, "The wine is all." It's like, "You know who you are, son? you can do something about this. And he backs away from that and responds as an ordinary person and says, woman, what have I to do with you? Woman, who are you anyway, lady, trying to get me to do something about this? Mine hour has not yet come. You know, Mom, we've talked about this many times, that the moment I expose myself as God the Son, our relationship will be changed forever. There will be demands on my life like you can't imagine. It's going to be difficult, Mom. Don't suggest it now when we're having such a good time. And then I believe the Holy Spirit helped him understand again, as he had understood so many times in his life, that Father spoke through his earthly mother. And he says, bring me the wine pots. Came up, bring me the wine pots. Isn't that interesting? Oh, how Jesus loved his mother. And as long as he was here on earth, he cared for her. And in the worst hour of agony, realizing that it's over now, he takes that responsibility and places it on a trusted individual because he is leaving. How great. Jesus still looks around for the Johns among his followers to care for his mothers. He still sees the multitudes of hurting mothers and reaches into his agape love and calls sons and daughters to love them, not just because they have to, not just because it's a duty, but to love them with emotion and affection. John's ministry may seem so ordinary and unattractive in comparison to Peter's calling to ministry. But really, in reality, is not John's ministry a bit higher than even Peter's? For do not all children crave and demand emotional and affectionate love from their mothers? And has not God called mothers to share his love with their children? That agape love that loves regardless of how they behave. But also he calls them to love with affection. And I'm glad I had a mother that showed affection. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made as her son was when I was about age 13 or 14. I said, Mom, I'm growing up, I can't kiss you goodnight anymore. And I knew that hurt her, and she let me grow up. Many years later, I remembered that incident, still remember it. It hurt her. Big boys never too big to kiss the moms. Show them affection and appreciation for all of the affection moms gave them. When we try and compare how others express their love to their mothers, when we look at society's expression of respect for mothers, when we're tempted to view other respects of ministry more important than loving, respecting mothers, we must turn away from that and hear the words of Jesus. It's none of your business how others do it. You follow me and love your mother now. What if our mother is out of reach and is going home to be with the Lord? There's an interesting revelation comes from Jesus on the cross. When Jesus was present, he took care of his mother. When he wasn't, he trusted someone else to. your mother's gone on to be with the Lord. He's taken care of her. Isn't that wonderful? And no matter what you may desire, if you, as I, have things you're not happy about and can ask for forgiveness, go let her know. She's in good hands. We can be forgiven. We can express our love, even though they're not present. And Jesus will take care of them. Yes, if our mother is out of reach today, we can release her into Jesus' care. Just like he did with his mother into John's care. But as long as we are here and she is here, we can affectionately, emotionally love her and go beyond with that agape love. If she may be in a state of being where she's no longer lovely and feeble and weary and hurt and lonely, whatever, God calls us to love not only our mothers but other mothers as well. When he looked at Peter, he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter responded in three different ways, and then he said, "This is your ministry." Today he says, "Do you love me?" And if we do, he says, "Behold my mothers, love them affectionately." As we honor mothers today, we are blessed to have Marvin share with us something that the Lord has laid on his heart that honors mothers. God bless you, Marvin.
White Lilacs, written by Leota Hulse Black. It was Mother's Day. The chimes played softly as the little old lady crept up the steps slowly and entered the cool dimness of the big church. The fashionably dressed worshippers that thronged the vestibule glanced curiously at the tiny figure, the faded gray dress and shabby hat. One hand held to an ear an old-fashioned trumpet, the other a huge bunch of white lilacs. Darting timid glances here and there, she passed through a doorway and moved slowly up the aisle. Near the front of the church, she paused uncertainly and then slipped into a pew. An usher appeared, his bulk blocking the aisle. "I'm sorry, ma'am, but you can't sit there. That is a rented pew. There are good seats in the back of the church." "And? I said there are good seats in the back. You'll have to move back." "Oh, I'm sorry. I ain't used to such a stylish church. I thought it was all right to sit in any seat in the Lord's house. I wish there was a seat near the front, because you see, my hearing is so poor, and I do want to hear the sermon. You see, my..." "I'm sorry, lady, but you'll have to move back." He led the way to a pew far back in the church and piled her into a niche behind the pillar. The little old lady laid a detaining hand on his arm. "Mister, I wonder if you'd mind put these lilacs up where the preacher can see them. You see, it's Mother's Day, and I thought he'd like to be a smelling white lilacs while he's a preacher. They've been picked quite a spell, but I've kept them nice and fresh with this here wet rag, and they'll look right pretty up there amongst the roses and the carnations." The usher made a gesture of annoyance. "We can't do that. Our florist has arranged the flowers, and your bouquet would spoil the symmetry." The little old lady nodded disappointedly. I didn't quite get what you meant, but I wouldn't want to be a spoiling anything." She slipped to her knees behind the pillar for a moment, and then the organ pealing forth the throbbing tones of Handel's Largo brought her to her feet. "My, it's beautiful. It's like heaven. And this is where Johnny is keeping my promise to the Lord." The choir and white vestments poured into the loft. Suddenly the door by the chancel opened softly, and a tall man in clerical robes appeared. As he mounted the platform, his footsteps kept time to the beating of the little old lady's heart. The minister glanced over the congregation with a smile like new sunshine. And though it was not for the little old lady, it swept over her heart so utterly that she placed a withered hand over the spot. Pride welled up into her so that she could hardly breathe. Then suddenly the church was filled with the strains of the opening hymn. She clutched the arm of a beautifully gowned woman who sat by her side. "My, ain't it just beautiful? Heaven can't be no sweeter. With that light up pouring through the window of Mary kneeling at the cross and the choir singing like angels. And Johnny, with that light a-shining on his head, it makes him look like I have pictures of Christ with that glow around me." The woman glanced at the tiny figure with annoyance and then whispered to her escort, "Some demented creature who has wandered in. The usher should be more careful." The hymn ended. The congregation bowed in prayer, rose again, and then the minister came forward. Smilingly, he read the words of his text. And he stretched forth his hand unto his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brother." And the little lady chuckled happily to herself. If Johnny had known I was to be here, he couldn't have picked a more fitting test. Wouldn't he be surprised if he knew I was among the brethren? Beautiful phrases were falling from the minister's lips. The story of that mother who had followed the man of sorrows to the cross. The little old lady peered around the pillar, but the minister had moved and only one dark robed shoulder was visible. She strained the ancient ear trumpet forward, but was able to catch only scattered fragments. Then the weariness of 72 years, coupled with 2 days of travel, proved too much for the tired body, and she nodded sleepily. Was she nodding? Or was it a vision that passed through her subconsciousness in swift panorama? She was back on the old farm, young and happy. Three little curly heads clustered around her as she snipped the blossoms from the white lilac bush at the corner of the house. Then the dreadful scourge of diphtheria, and she folded the hands of Jimmy and Mary in the last sleep. Only Johnny the baby was left, and she was kneeling by the bed, reeling, choking and raving and delirious. In agony, she had cried out, "Oh, God, don't take my baby. Spare me, little one. I'll get him back to thee. I'll spend my whole life preparing to do thy service. I promise, Lord, if you'll only spare him to me." And Johnny had been spared. Then followed years of hardship and poverty, just she and Johnny to till the soil and to eke out an existence on the old place. But she never for one moment forgot the promise. Every penny that could be spared must be saved for Johnny's education. The days and weeks behind the plow, the nights when the weary old back bent over the washboard, had always the same objective, that a few more pennies might be saved for Johnny's education. The ear trumpet slipped to her lap. Again she nodded. Now they were seated on the old porch in the twilight. Johnny was speaking. "Ma, don't the white lilacs smell nice? They kind of seem human. They make me want to do something big. You know, Ma, I can't quite express it, but there's something within me that wants me to help people to be good and pure, like the white lilacs." "Yes, Johnny, Ma understands. You see, your promise to the Lord to do His part, to do His work. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be possible to give you the kind of education you'll be need to fit you for His service. But if you do your part, He'll do His. But, Ma, do I need such a good education? Lots of men in the ministry don't have. I'm not wanting to be a burden to you. Perhaps I could serve in a country church." "Boy, Johnny, the very idea. Folks in the country have the same kind of souls as city people have. No matter where you labor, you got to have the right preparation. You're going into the highest calling known to man, and you're going to be prepared. There's nothing cheap about the Lord's work, and you're not going into it in ignorance. I'll manage somehow." Again, the same changes. And she sees herself more bent, more frail, seated under the white lilacs. The gate opens, and Johnny, suitcase in hand, enters. With a sigh of discouragement, he slumps by his mother. "Well, Ma, I own to say."
"Well, Johnny, what's wrong?"
"Everything.
Ma, you can't make good in college unless you have money and a pull. They don't want paupers like me there. They laugh at me in my clothes. I tell you, Mom, I can't stand it.
Well, Johnny, I'm ashamed of you.
Just because someone laughs at you, if that's all the grit you got, you're not the kind of timber that's needed in the ministry. You'll be facing plenty of laughing and scoffing and discouragements. And if you ain't got the will to overcome them,
it's better to find it out now than to fail later.
Hand me your suitcase, Johnny. I'll unpack it.
Look, Johnny, the lilacs are blooming. They're beckoning like people.
Ma, I'm sorry.
I didn't look at it right.
I'll go back and I'll stick. I can catch a ride back to school with the same fellow I came down with. Goodbye, Ma. I'll make good.
And true to his word, he had made good. The little old lady nodded on. Then sat with a start.
Where was she?
She adjusted the intercom. She peeked around the pillar.
Well, what was Johnny saying?
Disconnected sentences reached her ears.
A personal reference. My mother, toiling night and day, mortgaging the old farm, the fulfillment of a promise. Mother's Day, the old farmhouse, white lilacs. I want to see the lilacs. Mother, homesick. She peeked further around the pillar that she might see his face. Why, he's a crying. There's tears are running down his cheeks. He's nothing but a boy, and he's a crying.
The little old lady hadn't heard it all, but she had heard enough to know that her Johnny was homesick and needed her. She squeezed past the pillar and stepped into the aisle.
She advanced toward the platform, carrying the white lilac to the arm's length and calling tremulously, Johnny, don't cry. I'm coming with the white lilacs from the old place. I wanted to surprise you.
But Johnny, after one incredulous gaze, was halfway up the aisle where he gathered the little lady in his arms and carried her to the platform. The wrinkled head was sadly askew, and the wet rags and the lilac streamed limply toward the floor. A ripple of surprise flowed and darted over the audience. Now they moved to the front of the platform and paused where the mellow light from the window fell slantwise across their faces. That window, where another mother knelt in front of the cross. The usher, who seated the little old lady, stepped in from the vestibule, saw the lovely Tabitha.
Who is she?
He inquired of the tall usher. The other, with a constriction mounting in his throat, answered. She must be the minister's mother. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Let's stand together. In closing, I think it would be fitting if we just shared a few sentence prayers in gratitude for our mothers. Would you care to just lift up a word to the Lord of a thank you for your mother?
Thank you for your grace and forgiveness that even though we know we're not perfect mothers and our mothers may not have been perfect, that they look to you and that your grace covers everything.
Thank you, Lord, for reminding us again how hard
our mother's labor, the sacrifices they made. Lord, for many of us men today, who are fathers, we have not only our own mothers to thank, but the mothers of our children. We honor them today, Lord. God, help us to be more sensitive to them, more honoring of their efforts, their labors, their care, their sacrifices. Fill us with your love, Lord, today, to love all mothers. That you bring into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.